What is this? Is this what Mary thinks? This is what I think. What a coincidence that it comes out a few weeks after marrying that girl.
He said that girl as if it were a dirty word. The girl you ordered me to marry, Kaz reminded him. The king grunted.
Nothing like her parents. Perhaps she forgot everything about them after they died, because those two detested the ruined.
He let out a heavy sigh.
I was wrong to make you marry her without getting to know her first. If I'd known...
What? Anger flared in Kaz's chest.
That she could think for herself? That she would challenge us, instead of going along with everything we said?
The king frowned in thought, running a hand over his beard.
Maybe there's a way to get you out of it.
Kaz reeled back, the words like a slap to the face. Unexpected panic crept in at the thought of losing Mary.
You are not allowed to have an opinion on my marriage, Kaz said,
his voice like ice.
That contract is between me and Mary now. Do you understand me?
His father looked so astonished that he didn't seem to have the words to reply to that.
I'm going down to talk to Damien, Kaz said. Maybe he'll tell me if he's actually committed a crime. If he has, then we can talk about appropriate punishment. But if he hasn't, we're holding and torturing a man who has done nothing wrong. I don't know what's more horrifying, our actions, or the fact that you don't seem the least bit bothered by them.
He turned away from his father's startled face and descended the steps into the dungeon. He let out a slow breath, willing his heart to stop thumping a frantic rhythm in his chest. He was shaky, but lighter. The weight of the words building inside him for so long finally gone.
I can't do that again. I don't...
The male voice drifted up from below. Kaz slowed his descent, listening.
We'll rotate the guards out, Gallo said. No one will have to do this more than once.
He paused.
Rick, don't you dare vomit down here.
Kaz took the last step. Two guards stood at the far wall, and Kaz knew immediately which one was Rick. He was young and pale, his hands shaking. The guard quickly put them behind his back when he saw Kaz.
There's no need for you two to be down here, Kaz said. Will you wait at the top?
The guards nodded and rushed past him. Gallo stood in front of Damien's cell, and Kaz stopped next to him. Damien was crumpled on the floor, his face bloody and swollen. Fresh blood was smeared across his shirt.
The hunters left, didn't they? Kaz asked quietly. Yes, this morning. Except for the one who cracked his head open.
They never revived him?
No, he was dead when I got to him.
So my father had the guards take the lead torturing Damien.
Yes.
Kaz pushed his fingers through his hair.
Torture isn't exactly in their job description. No, it's not. They asked for volunteers, but
no one volunteered. Kaz felt a swell of pride for the guards suddenly.
Good for them.
Damien's head jerked as one of his eyes opened. The other was swollen shut. He rolled onto his side, and it seemed to take him a moment for him to focus well enough to recognize Kaz standing at his cell door. He laughed. A sad, hollow sound that echoed through the dungeon. He rolled over onto his back, wincing as he put a hand to his stomach.
I've died, haven't I?
He said, his voice laced with amusement.
Always figured there was punishment waiting for me after death. Your face is my punishment, isn't it?
You're not dead, Kaz said.
Too bad.
Damien moved his jaw around, as if checking to see if it still worked.
How old are you? Kaz asked.
Damien's forehead crinkled as he frowned. He took several beats to answer.
17 or 18. I lost track.
Do you have any family?
Yes, though everyone related to me by blood has been murdered.
He lowered his voice.
But yes, I have family.
Is that why you were crossing into Olso? Are they there? He laughed, a genuine one that shook his chest.
No.
Kaz paused, glancing over at Gallo. The guard stood only a few steps away, his brow furrowed as he watched them. He debated asking Gallo to leave, but maybe Kaz needed him to hear this conversation with Damien. He needed to know if Gallo felt the same as Kaz, or if his thinking was more in line with the king's.
The hunters killed your family, Kaz said. It wasn't a question.
Damien's jaw tensed.
Your hunters killed my family, yes.
Our hunters killed your family, Kaz repeated, because it was true.
What did you do before the Lara invasion? What do you mean, what did I do?
You were about 16 when we invaded, correct? Were you in school? Did Ruana have schools?
No. Parents educated their kids at home.
He hesitated.
But I was educated at the castle with Em and Olivia.
Em is Emelina? Kaz asked.
Yes.
You were friends with the Flores sisters? Or related to them?
Friends.
Your parents must have known Wenda Flores then.
Everyone knew Wenda, Damien said, throwing an arm across his forehead. It's not like here, where you isolate yourself from your people like you're scared of them.
Did you have training? Kaz asked. Battle training? Damien barely lifted his shoulders in a small shrug. He wasn't answering that question.
Were you involved in the raid on the Valos Castle? Kaz asked, thinking of Mary's troubled expression yesterday when she asked about Damien.
Again, Damien just shrugged.
Were you raised to hate everyone who wasn't ruined?
Damien dropped his arm from his forehead, turning his head to look at Kaz.
No.
Kaz glanced at Gallo. The guard had his arms crossed over his chest, a serious expression on his face. He barely nodded at Kaz, as if telling him to go on.
Did you ever kill anyone before Lara invaded? Ruin don't kill each other. I didn't have much contact with anyone else.
He snorted.
Can't say that you guys have made a very good impression.
No. I guess not, Kaz said quietly. A crease appeared between Damien's eyebrows as he studied Kaz. He opened his mouth like he was going to say something, then shut it, his frown deepening. Kaz stepped back to join Gallo against the wall. He ducked his head, his words only for the guard.
Do you ever wonder, he said to the ground, if maybe we're the dangerous ones, not the ruined?
Gallo paused before answering.
All the time.
Chapter 15. Plan number one. Em put one finger in the air as she paced across her bedroom. We simply try to keep him alive until we're ready to launch the attack. Then the castle will be ours anyway, and Damien can go free. Aaron nodded, leaning against the wall and staring out the window. The sunlight streamed across his face and onto his blue guard shirt.
He'll have to endure torture for a while, he said softly.
I know. Em swallowed. Plan number two. You volunteer for a shift down there, kill the other guard, and you and Damien make a run for it.
If he's in any shape to run. Not to mention that me freeing Damien and disappearing will cast suspicion on you.
She moaned, pushing her hands into her hair.
Forget plan number two. Or revise it. Make it look like Damien killed the other guard, used his ruined magic to get out of the cell, and escaped by himself. He'd still have a tough time getting over the castle wall, and evading the guards once he's free. "Do you have any better ideas?" she asked, exasperated. "No. Is there a plan number 3? I find out where Olivia is as soon as possible, and all of us get out of here. That's the worst one yet. Destroying your cover before we're ready to launch the attack makes this all for nothing. They'll heighten their defenses." "I never said they were good plans, and I don't hear you throwing out any ideas." He turned so his back was to the wall, lifting his head to the ceiling. "Plan number 4. Let Damien die." Em grabbed one of the bedposts, squeezing it almost to the point of cracking. "Don't look at me like that," Aaron said. He blinked several times, but not before she saw the tears in his eyes. "It's taking all my willpower not to rush down there and kill everyone even in the general vicinity of his cell. But all of this is bigger than him. You know that." She eased her fingers off the bedpost. "I know that." "Plan number 1. It's the only option. Get them to hold off as long as you can."
"Maybe he can give them a few pieces of information. Pretend to be useful so they're less inclined to kill him," she said.
"I want to talk to him. Can you volunteer for a shift in the dungeon?"
"Sure. They haven't assigned guards for the overnight shift yet."
"Is there more than one down there overnight?"
2. But I can use my ruined magic to tie his stomach into knots. He'll be too sick to stay."
"Good. Tell me when we're ready."
Em walked across the south lawn that night, glancing over her shoulder for the 4th time. She hadn't told Kaz she was going to visit Damien, and she didn't want him spotting her and tagging along. Kaz and his parents would find out she'd visited him, but it was better to explain later rather than ask for permission now. She descended the steps to the dungeon, lifting the hem of her light purple dress. The world grew darker the farther down she went, the only light coming from the lanterns lining the walls every few steps. The walls were bare and gray, nothing like the bright colors of the castle. It was cool and quiet, and she was suddenly reminded of home. It looked more like Ruina in Lara's dungeon than anywhere else she'd seen. She saw Aaron first, leaning against the wall, keeping watch on the stairs. Another guard was a few paces from him, and he straightened when he spotted Em, surprise coloring his features. She took the last step, pulling a breath into her chest and forcing every muscle in her body to relax. She screwed her face into a calm expression. Damien was lying on the ground, his head turned to her. Dirt coated his arms and neck. His face was horribly swollen, and his hand had been bandaged. They'd taken care of his wound after cutting his finger off?
"May I help you with something, Your Highness?" Aaron asked.
But his attention was on the other guard. The man frowned and touched his stomach.
"I'd like to speak with the prisoner," she said. "Is it safe?"
"It's safe, Your Highness, but..."
The guard made a retching sound, clapping his hand over his mouth.
"Go," Em said, moving away from the stairs. "Get some fresh air."
The guard nodded, sprinting past her and up the stairs. Damien's laughter echoed through the dungeon.
"Aaron," Damien shook his head, "you did a little more than was necessary there." "If I can't use my fist to punch him in the stomach, I might as well use my magic."
Aaron moved to the stairs, leaning forward to keep watch. Em rushed forward, wrapping her fingers around the bars of Damien's cell. He sat up slowly, wincing. He was more relaxed than she would have expected, blowing his dark hair out of his eyes and smiling his crooked smile.
"Nice dress,"
What happened? She asked.
Seriously? I haven't seen you in a dress in over a year. They suit you.
Damien, stop. What happened?
His smile faltered, and he scrubbed a hand down his face.
The hunters know we're crossing into Ulso. They're all over the border. We were still managing to get through, but they picked off some of us. They captured me, and I got the special privilege of torture before my death.
Think of information you can give them, Em said. Something small. If we can keep you alive long enough, we'll be able to release you after the warriors take the castle.
He pushed off the ground, getting to his feet with a grunt.
I doubt I'll last that long.
That's why you need to give them a few things. Even if they're lies, it will take time for them to confirm it. Play along.
Play along,
he laughed, wincing as he put a hand to his stomach.
Ow.
She swallowed, scanning his dirty clothes. Are you all right?
Never better.
He leaned his forehead against the bars.
Is Prince Casimir being kind to you?
Yes.
He raised his bandaged hand.
Kaz comes in and pretends to be nice after his father tortures me. They must figure one strategy will work.
Em grasped her necklace, the words on the tip of her tongue. He's not pretending. Damien raised his eyebrows, questions all over his face.
Kaz doesn't have the stomach for torturing and killing the way his father does,
Aaron finally said when Em didn't.
He'll grow into it.
Or not, since he'll be dead in a few weeks. Em couldn't say those words either. They sat in the pit of her stomach. Damien's baffled expression didn't do much to make her feel better.
I'm glad he's being kind to you, at least,
Damien said quietly, so only she could hear.
Give the information to Kaz, not his father, Em said. Show that you respond better to reason than torture.
They'll still kill me, Em. The king isn't going to keep a ruined for more than a few days.
I'm going to get you out of this, she said fiercely. I won't let them execute you.
He shook his head, his expression turning serious.
You can't stop it without making them suspicious.
The Ruined can't lose another leader. They're looking to you.
They're looking to you, too. They just don't know it yet. When they realize what you did to save Olivia, they'll worship you as much as they do her.
He lifted his head from the bars.
Have you found out where she is?
Not yet. But I've gained Kaz's trust and—
I think you've gained more than his trust.
Damien's lips turned up.
But I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Her cheeks warmed, and she snuck a glance over her shoulder at Aaron. He'd disappeared into the stairway, giving them some privacy.
You're here to save thousands, not break me out of a Lara dungeon,
Damien said. She stared at her feet, nodding as she blinked away tears.
If I can think of something to tell Kaz, I will. An old location of a camp, maybe. But they're still going to kill me, Em.
He wrapped his fingers around hers through the bars.
We knew we risked our lives with this plan. I honestly didn't expect to make it out of this war alive.
I expected you to make it out alive.
She took in a ragged breath.
I thought you'd be there when we went back to Ruina. I thought that you and I...
She thought she had more time to figure out what was between them. She needed more time. She needed her friend beside her.
I appreciate that optimism.
His fingers gripped hers tighter. He jerked his head.
Now go. I don't want that guard telling the king you were down here forever.
She wiped a tear off her cheek, forcing a smile before she headed to the stairs. Aaron strode to the cell,
leaning his head close to Damien's to speak to him.
She didn't care about the risks. Whatever it took, she would find a way to save him.
Chapter 16. Kaz raised his hand to knock on Mary's door, a flutter of nerves exploding in his stomach. He cracked a knuckle as he waited for her to answer. No one answered the door, and he stepped back. A maid approached from the other end of the hallway with a handful of linens, and she paused when she spotted him.
"Have you seen Mary?" he asked.
"I believe she's in the sparring room, Your Highness."
He murmured a thanks and headed down the stairs to the back of the castle. Laughter spilled into the hallway. He stopped at the open doorway of the sparring room and found Iria with a dull sword in her hand, Mary across from her. Mary wore a determined expression as she took a step to the side, her sword extended in front of her. The trainer, Rulo, watched them from the corner of the room. Iria lunged first, and Mary lifted her sword to stop the attack. He leaned against the doorframe, watching as they circled the room, the swords noisily crashing against each other. An Ulso warrior wasn't an easy opponent, but Mary's skills with a sword were almost unmatched.
"I heard she went to visit Damien last night."
Kaz jumped at the sound of the voice to find his mother leaning against the wall on the other side of the door. She was out of view from the two women inside, which wasn't a coincidence. "Mary?" he asked.
"Yes."
"Did she ask you if she could do that?"
He watched as Mary ducked Iria's blade. "She doesn't really ask my permission to do things."
"She should."
He snorted.
"Really? You ask Father for permission regularly?"
The queen's lips twitched.
"I see your point."
She peeked around the doorway.
"She's very good. Odd for a girl from Valos."
"Talent, I guess."
"That's not talent. That's hard work and training. The kind of training they don't usually have in Valos."
"Why do you sound suspicious?"
"Not suspicious. Just impressed."
"Does she ever talk about her training?"
"No, but I've never asked."
"You know what I think is sad?" the queen said. She talked slowly, in that way she did when she was saying one thing but meant another. "She didn't bring any portraits of her family with her."
"I think they all burned in the fire when the ruined attacked,"
I figured. "I thought I might try to track one down, as a surprise. I've sent someone out to work on it."
She smiled at him.
"But don't tell her. I don't want to get her hopes up if I can't find one."
"That's nice of you."
"Don't sound so surprised, Kaz."
She squeezed his arm as she walked past.
"She's about to beat that warrior. And I suspect King Lucio sent the best."
Kaz turned to look. Mary leaned away from Iria's attack, knocking her arm away as she jabbed the dull tip into the warrior's chest.
"I win,"
Mary said breathlessly. Kaz returned his gaze to his mother to find nothing but empty hallway. He caught a glimpse of her skirts as they disappeared around the corner. Iria laughed, drawing Kaz's attention back to them.
"I will get you next time.
Or you could get me right now if you'd like to go again." Mary spread her arms wide in invitation.
"I'd like to go," Kaz said, stepping out of the doorway.
The women turned, Mary's smile faltering as their eyes met.
"Your Highness, I didn't see you there," the trainer said,
straightening and adjusting his collar.
"Would you like me to get your practice gear?"
"No, thank you,"
Kaz said, stepping into the room. Mary's gaze followed him as he came closer.
"You know, I was told by castle staff that you don't allow people to watch you practice,"
Iria said, her hands on her hips, the sword dangling from two fingers.
They say it so no one knows your secrets and tricks.
She cocked an eyebrow.
I told them it was probably because you were terrible and didn't want anyone to know.
He laughed, holding his hand out for her sword.
Let's see then, shall we?
He looked at Mary as Iria dropped the dull blade into his hand.
If you'd like.
If you promise not to let me win.
Why would I let you win?
A hint of a smile appeared on her face again, and he decided he would never let her win at anything, ever, if she was going to look at him like that.
And let's not tell my father I let you stay while we did this, he said to Iria as he rolled his sleeves up.
It's your father who doesn't want people to watch you?
Mary asked.
He thinks a royal's skills in battle are better kept a secret.
He may be right about that.
He walked across the floor to stand in front of her.
I never thought I'd hear you say my father was right about anything.
Don't tell him I said so.
Never.
She began to lift her sword, then stopped, cocking her head.
What battle is he preparing you for?
You don't need a sword to battle the Ruined.
He used one against Wenda Flores.
I guess he did.
She arched an eyebrow.
Had you ever met a Ruined before Damien was captured?
No.
He glanced at Iria, uncomfortable having this conversation in front of a warrior. He held his sword out in front of him.
Are we sparring or are we talking?
Mary lifted her sword, narrowing her eyes. Iria counted them down, and Mary made the first move. He easily blocked her. She was deliberately being slow and careful at first, to assess how he handled himself. He could see it in the way she watched him. It was interesting, considering her temper seemed to get the best of her in other situations. He lunged forward, and she went back, the metal of their swords sounding off the walls as they met. He tried to back her into a corner, but she ducked suddenly, darting around to the other side of him. Her eyes raged with something he didn't quite understand as their swords met again. It was more than anger, and he couldn't tell if it was directed at him. He hoped it wasn't, because if it had been a real sword in her hand, she might have killed him. He moved forward, obviously quicker than she had been expecting, because she stumbled and he lightly struck her on her left arm.
"One,"
Iria said. She took a step back, her breathing heavy. They circled each other, and he waited for her to lunge first again. When she came at him, he met her blow, moving forward and back as she attacked. He'd only ever sparred with his trainers and Gallo, and it was different with Mary. He was distracted by the way a piece of hair had escaped from its knot and hung down her cheek. The pink in her cheeks. The sound of her breath. She spun when he almost touched the sword to her chest, and he lifted his eyebrows, impressed. She grinned. He ducked as she lunged at him again, the blade barely missing his head. He darted around and grabbed her hand, spinning her into his chest. He held down her arm as he lifted his blade to her throat. She gasped, snapping her head to the right. He could feel her sucking air in and out of her lungs against him, and her arm was warm and soft beneath his fingers. Her dark eyes burned into his, lighting up like they were on fire. He found himself staring at her lips, wishing he knew what they felt like on his.
"Should we leave?"
Iria's voice snapped him out of his trance, and he quickly released Mary. Her gaze was downcast, and she was rubbing the spot where he'd touched her arm.
"Apologies, Your Highness," Iria said.
Somehow she always managed to make Your Highness seem like an insult.
"Clearly you have nothing to be embarrassed about. When it comes to sword fighting, that is."
He gave her an amused look. "Thank you, I think."
"I think I'd like to spar with you more often," Mary said.
"You're better than Iria."
"I'm standing right here," Iria said.
You know he's better than you, Mary said with a laugh. She focused on him again, a hint of a challenge in her expression. I think he's used to being better than everyone.
Gallo often gives it a very good shot, he said, unable to keep a smile off his face. Would you like to go again?
Absolutely. Chapter 17. Em pulled the door shut behind her as she exited her rooms, the sound echoing down the hallway. Her dress caught under her heel, and she yanked it free with a little more force than was necessary. Iria appeared around the corner, her gaze falling to the rip Em had just created at the hem of her dress.
What did that dress ever do to you? She asked with a hint of amusement.
Em wasn't in the mood to be amused. It had been several days since her visit to Damien, and she hadn't even been able to talk to the king once. He just brushed her off every time she approached him.
Most of the ships have already left also,
Iria said under her breath as they walked down the hallway.
The ruined are on board.
Em's heart jumped into her throat. How much longer do I have? She hadn't found out where Olivia was yet. It was a delicate balance, finding a way to bring up Olivia without casting suspicion on herself.
They're almost here, but you still have several days, at least. A week, maybe.
Even if she couldn't find a way to stealthily get the information, perhaps she could just torture it out of the king or queen during the attack. It would serve them right, after what they were doing to Damien. They rounded the corner. Koldo and Benito stood outside the ocean room. Koldo was speaking animatedly, grinning at Benito as if the latter was supposed to be impressed by his story. Benito managed to lift one eyebrow. Em stopped next to them, leaning over to peer through the open door. No one had arrived at the meeting yet. Kaz rounded the corner, and Em quickly ducked into the meeting room so he wouldn't see her near the warriors. She took a seat and glanced over her shoulder as he walked into the room. His lips turned up when their eyes met.
He likes you,
Iria had said to her a few days ago.
More than likes you. He looks at you as if he's falling in love with you.
Em swallowed down a wave of guilt. Kaz probably didn't love her. He liked her, maybe, but love? No, surely not. The guilt clawed through her chest and into her throat, making it hard to breathe. She didn't know what was worse, that he liked her, or that she was pretty sure she felt the same way. The warriors entered the room, followed shortly after by the queen and Jovita. The king came in a few minutes later and grabbed the trade agreement from Iria without so much as a good morning.
I'll discuss it with my advisors, he said after a moment.
They're not coming this morning?
Iria asked.
No.
He didn't offer any further explanation.
You can go. That's all for today.
The warriors couldn't hide their surprise, but they all stood without comment. Iria glanced at Em as she left, a hint of worry in her eyes. The king stared straight at Em, and she pretended not to notice. If they'd discovered something, they would have captured her immediately, not let her wander into a meeting with the royal family. Right?
It's come to my attention that you visited the ruined prisoner, the king said.
She tried to swallow without appearing nervous. I did.
Why?
I wanted to know if he was part of the attack that killed my parents. Jovita and the queen shared a look. The queen leaned forward, resting her arms on the table.
What did he say?
Nothing.
That's mostly what we've gotten from him,
the king said.
Nothing. Time to give up, I think.
Em gripped the edge of her chair, her heart diving into her feet.
But he told me the location of a ruined camp a few days ago, Kaz said before she could speak.
And I've relayed that to my soldiers,
But ruined camps move all the time. He knew he wasn't giving us anything important.
The king stood, grabbing the treaty agreement off the table.
I'm losing patience. I don't usually keep ruined prisoners.
No, you usually kill them right away. Kaz's words hung in the air like they'd been shouted instead of spoken calmly.
Do you have something you'd like to say, Casimir?
The king straightened his shoulders, staring down his son. Em gently pressed her hand to her waist, where she'd slipped a dagger inside her dress. The leather sheath was warm against her left side. She could get at the weapon in about 3 seconds, hurl it at the king's chest, take Kaz's hand, and run as... She shook the thought away, curling her fingers into a fist and trying to pretend she wasn't imagining Kaz's hand in hers as they ran away from the castle.
I think we should reevaluate our policy on the ruined, Kaz said. I can no longer support murdering people who haven't committed a crime.
The king's beard trembled, like he was having a hard time keeping his temper in check.
Luckily, I don't need your support, and no one with any sense disagrees with Lara's ruined policy.
I do, Em said.
The king barely glanced at her, like she didn't count. He stomped away from the table.
I have more important things to do.
Damien talks to me, Kaz said, looking over his shoulder at his father. At the very least, you shouldn't execute him while he's still talking to me.
The king's face twisted, like he hated to admit Kaz was right.
And you keep another ruined locked away, Em said quickly. If you keep Olivia, why not Damien?
It's different, the queen said with a sniff.
How so? Is she somewhere very well guarded?
She tried to keep the question light, but her chest tightened in anticipation.
Not your concern.
The king turned his attention to his niece.
Jovita, join me.
Jovita's eyes lit up, and she scurried after the king.
At least stop torturing Damien, Kaz said as they headed for the door. He's never talked during torture.
Fine.
The king threw the door open, and he and Jovita disappeared through it. The queen followed, sparing a deep frown for her son as she went. Em let out a sigh.
That went about as well as expected, Kaz said with a nervous laugh.
That was brave, she said, meaning every word.
Thanks.
She wanted to thank him for stopping Damien's torture, but she couldn't think of a way to do it without casting suspicion on herself. Plus, she couldn't let the opportunity to ask about Olivia pass her by.
Is it a secret? She asked carefully. Olivia's location?
Somewhat. The family knows, some of the advisors. My father is just being a jerk. She's at Fort Victoria in the Southern Mountains, where we meet in case of an emergency.
Her entire body went numb, but she managed to barely nod. Olivia, Victoria, Southern Mountains. A year of desperately wondering where her sister was, and Kaz had laid it all out for her with one simple question. She wanted to throw her arms around his neck and hug him. Guilt pushed out the happiness almost immediately. His expression was so open and honest that she wanted to scream the truth at him and ask for forgiveness. She wondered what would happen if she came clean and simply asked him to let Olivia go. Actually, she could guess what would happen. The same scenario that had played out in front of her moments ago. Kaz would be reasonable. His father would disagree and do whatever he wanted. Or, Kaz would explode, grab a sword, and stick it through her heart. If Iria was right, and he really did like her, it would only make his anger worse. He might lose sight of all reason. Truth wasn't an option. She had to stick with her plan, regardless of how he looked at her. Chapter 18. M woke to the sound of her door creaking. Her eyes flew open, and she rolled out of the sheets and onto the floor. She sprang to her feet, making a beeline for the dresser that held her knife.
"It's me," came Iria's soft voice.
M squinted in the darkness to where Iria stood by the door.
"What are you doing? What time is it?"
Fear slammed into her chest, and she clasped the handle of the dresser drawer, ready to grab the knife.
"What's wrong?"
"They're executing Damien."
"Now?"
She'd meant to yell it, but the word came out as a strangled whisper instead.
"The king just woke some of the guards. Aaron is already out there."
She flew across the room, shoving her feet into her boots. She knocked against Iria's shoulder as she wrenched open the door.
"Don't!"
Iria hissed from behind her.
"If they see you!"
Em didn't catch the last of Iria's words as she ran out of her rooms and into the hallway. It was dark and quiet, the curtains still shut tight over the windows. Most of the lanterns lining the hallway were unlit. She darted to the main staircase, but a tiny voice in the back of her head told her not to rush to the front entrance of the castle in full view of the guards. She spun around, sprinting down the hallway and taking the back staircase to the kitchen instead. Iria's footsteps pounded behind her as she ran through the staff dining room and out the door. She was wearing only a white nightgown, and the morning air was cool against her bare arms and legs. The sky was deep blue with the smallest hint of orange beginning to appear on the horizon. The gardens were empty, and Em looked over her shoulder at Iria.
"South lawn?"
She received no reply except Iria attempting to grab for her arm. She shook the warrior off and sprinted around the side of the castle, Iria's footsteps following her. Aaron came into view as soon as she rounded the corner. He was leaning against the wall, his hands braced on his knees, his lips moving in silent prayer. She'd walked in on Aaron praying many times in her life, though never after the castle burned, with his parents in it. She drew in a ragged breath and his head popped up, his eyes wide and wet.
"You can't be here."
"Is he dead?"
she whispered. Aaron put both hands behind his neck, ducking his face into his chest.
"I don't know. I can't look."
She took a few steps forward. She didn't want to see, but her feet kept moving anyway. They were slow, heavy with the sinking feeling that there was nothing she could do for Damien now. She curled her fingers around the corner of the castle, peeking onto the south lawn. Damien was on his knees near the stairs down to the dungeon. His ankles were tied together, his wrists bound in front of him. A guard was behind him with a blade. The king and queen stood not far away, along with Jovita and a few more guards. Kaz was not there. It didn't seem as if the king and queen, who had their backs to her, had noticed her presence. But Damien stared right at her. He was filthy and bloody, one eye partially swollen shut. She couldn't move. Tears welled in her eyes, but his were clear, his expression grim but steady. His lips twisted into the saddest smile she'd ever seen.
"Em, they might see you."
Iria tugged on her arm. M wriggled free. Iria grabbed her again.
"If they see..."
"Let go of her!"
Aaron's voice was a growl, and Iria's body shot backward, as if suddenly hurled across the lawn by an invisible force. Aaron gasped as she hit the ground. Aaron raced across the grass to her crumpled body.
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean..."
"I'm fine."
Iria slapped his hand away. M turned back to the lawn. The king made a motion for the guards to proceed.
"Aaron?"
Her voice came out as a strangled whisper.
"I can't let him die."
He was behind her suddenly, his hand finding hers.
"You will not die with him."
His voice wobbled. Damien was still looking in her direction, and she watched as he brought his bound hands up to his heart. He tapped his fist against his chest twice in the official Ruina salute to the queen. The guard raised his sword. Aaron lowered his forehead onto her shoulder, whispering, "I can't look." She could barely hear him through the blood rushing in her ears.
"For the crime of murder and treason, the kingdom of Lara sentences you to death,"
M heard the king say.
"May the ancestors see something in you that we did not."
The king nodded at the guard holding the sword. He lifted it into the air, hesitating for a moment as he found his mark. The blade crashed down. Chapter 19.
He would be an excellent leader, Emelina.
Em looked up at her mother, then through the open window to where Damien stood outside. He ducked suddenly, barely missing the ball Olivia threw dangerously close to his head.
"Oops,"
Olivia said with a giggle. Her long, dark hair was pulled tight in a ponytail, and it swung back and forth as she bounced on her heels, extending her hand as she waited for the ball to return. "I guess," Em said to her mother, turning her attention back to her book. "If Olivia likes him."
"I meant for you."
Em looked up, surprised. Wenda Flores stood with her back to the bookshelves, the red, green, and black spines extending far over her head, almost all the way to the ceiling. She cocked one thin eyebrow at her daughter.
"He likes you. I'm sure you've noticed."
"He's too powerful to marry someone useless," Em said with a hint of bitterness.
"Just because your ruined power never manifested doesn't mean you won't pass it to your children. You're still a royal. You'll lead the ruined, and he belongs in that position with you."
"Olivia will lead, not me."
"You will be your sister's most important advisor. You'll have almost as much influence over Ruina as she will."
Em shrugged, glancing out at Damien again. He caught her eye and smiled. He wasn't the worst choice, but she also didn't look at him the way her mother looked at her father, like the world would go up in flames if something happened to him.
"Em!"
Olivia ran to the window, bracing her hands on either side of it. Her eyes were wide with excitement.
"They caught another spy from Lara! They're bringing him now!"
She pointed past Damien, where a wagon and horses rolled toward the castle.
"That was fast,"
Wenda said, the skirts of her red dress swishing across the floor as she walked to the door.
"Have you been practicing, Olivia?"
"Every day,"
Olivia said seriously.
"Good."
Wenda smiled at Em.
"Your sister is going to take that man's head clean off his body. Would you like to come watch?"
The memory slammed into Em's brain just after waking. A sick feeling rolled through her stomach, and she darted out of bed, gasping for air. She'd forgotten that day. It had been shortly before Lara attacked, and the memory had faded in favor of the bigger, more horrifying events that followed. Em had gone to watch. Olivia hadn't been able to do it, though she did break the skin around his neck. So a guard had eventually stepped in with a sword. Em had looked away when it happened. But she hadn't wondered who he was. She couldn't even remember his face now. If he was young or thin, or if he had a beard. She remembered blood dripping down his neck. She remembered the screaming. It hadn't occurred to her at the time that he could have been someone's Damien. Someone's friend, or husband, or father. She pushed her hands through her hair, tears welling in her eyes. Her room was too dark, the only light coming from the moon shining through the window, and the blackness brought images she didn't want to see. Damien on his knees. Her mother's smile. She hastily pulled on a pair of pants and a loose white shirt. She walked through her rooms and into the hallway, avoiding a maid's curious glance as she passed. She wasn't sure what time it was, but the castle still murmured with noise. Her feet took her to Kaz's rooms. She considered going to Aaron, but something about that didn't feel right. Aaron wouldn't understand this ache in her chest. Kaz answered the door only a few moments after she knocked. His shirt was rumpled and half unbuttoned, though he didn't look like he'd been asleep. He tossed his book onto the couch as he opened the door wider. "Come in. Are you feeling all right? I came by earlier, but your maid said you weren't feeling well."
"I'm fine," she said as she stepped inside the dark library. Light spilled out from his bedroom, and he led her in that direction.
"You heard they executed Damien this morning?" he asked as they walked through the door. Two candles near his bed were lit, casting a glow over his unmade bed.
"Yeah."
She stopped in the middle of the room, crossing her arms over her chest. "My father did it on purpose, to show he doesn't have to listen to us." Kaz turned around to face her. "I wouldn't have handled this situation the same way if it were up to me. If my father doesn't succeed in killing every ruined in existence, you and I should find a way to make peace with them one day."
"Peace," she repeated, the word burning down her throat. She'd never considered peace, for even a moment.
"Does that sound stupid?" Kaz seemed unsure suddenly. She shook her head.
"No, it's not stupid. Your father and Jovita treat you like your ideas are stupid because they don't like the way your questions make them feel. Remember that, all right? You're not dumb. You're not naive. You're not any of the things they try to make you out to be."
A slow smile spread across his face. "Thank you, Mary." She swallowed at the mention of the girl she'd killed, her gaze dropping to the floor. Kaz reached for her hand, his tone softening. "Are you all right?"
"Fine," she lied. "Just lonely, I think."
The admission was embarrassing as soon as it was out of her mouth, but Kaz squeezed her hand tighter.
"I'm glad you came," he said quietly.
She rubbed her thumb across her necklace. The constant guilt in her chest had started to give way to a fiery ache. It was physically painful to imagine how much he would hate her after he knew the truth. He closed the distance between them with one small step. He was too close, or not close enough, and she put a hand on his chest. The room was so quiet she could hear him draw a breath, and she watched as the air filled his chest. His fingers brushed across her neck, and Em knew that if she looked up now, he would kiss her. She was going to let him. She was going to do more than let him, actually. She was going to drag him to her and feel every inch of his body next to hers. His eyes met hers, his thumb gently nudging her chin up. She burst into tears. Surprise crossed Kaz's face as he pulled her into his arms. She closed her fingers around his shirt. She felt like if she didn't hold on to him, he might start slipping away from her.
"Tell me what's wrong," he said quietly,
his arms tightening around her waist.
"Damien's death made me think."
She took in a shaky breath and let honest words spill out of her mouth.
"I've seen so many people killed and never given it a second thought. I've killed. I planned to kill more."
She hadn't just planned to kill Kaz. She'd imagined smiling as she sank a sword into his chest.
"I don't
think this is who I want to be,
she said, her voice shaking.
You did what you had to do, Kaz said.
I did what I chose to do.
Tears spilled over her cheeks, staining his shirt.
Then choose better next time.
It was such a simple statement that she almost told him it was too late. But when she lifted her head and met his eyes, he stared at her with such sincerity that it was impossible to disagree.
You're not who I thought you'd be, Kaz.
No?
You're so much better.
He smiled, his thumb rubbing a tear from her cheek.
Stay with me tonight?
She nodded without hesitation. He took her hand and led her to the bed. She climbed onto the soft sheets. He slipped in beside her and pulled the blankets up, even though they were both still fully dressed. He scooped her back into his arms, his fingers tangling in her hair and his lips brushing across her forehead.
Can I tell you a secret?
He asked, his breath tickling her forehead. She nodded.
I didn't want to get married. I was angry I didn't get to choose. But promise you won't tell my parents I said this.
His voice held a trace of humor.
I couldn't have chosen any better than you.
He brushed her hair behind her ear, and she reached up, lacing her fingers between his. She brought their hands in close to her chest, brushing a kiss across his knuckles.
You're so much better than I expected, too,
he whispered, his lips grazing her ear as he spoke. His legs intertwined with hers, and she knew that in the morning she would regret letting him hold her like this. She would think of how the contours of his body felt against hers, how she could feel him smile when he kissed her forehead. She would remember it tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and she could already feel the pain that would accompany it. The memory of how he felt when he cared about her was going to be the most painful thing after he began to hate her. Chapter 20 I'm leaving tonight. Iria's head shot up at Em's words, her face crinkling in confusion.
What?
Em turned to Aaron, who was perched on the edge of a chair. They were in the library, at the far end of the room in case anyone got the urge to listen by the door. He was obviously surprised, but also maybe relieved.
I have everything I need, she said. It's time for me to go get Olivia.
You do not have everything we need, Iria said. We need for you to stay so you don't arouse suspicion.
Iria had a point about that. Surely there would be questions if she suddenly disappeared.
But she couldn't keep lying to Kaz.
She'd told him she would come to his room again tonight, and she wanted to do it so desperately her chest ached. But she couldn't look into his eyes and lie. Not even one more time.
We were planning to attack within a week, probably less, Iria said. You can wait a few more days.
I need time to get to Olivia, Em said. What if they move her after the attack?
Iria pulled a piece of hair from her braid and twirled it around her finger.
Tell you what. We'll give you a 2-day head start. I'll confirm when the attack is happening, and you can leave 2 days before that. At that point, it will be too late for them to launch any kind of effective defense, even if your disappearance arouses suspicions. They'll still be trying to figure out where you went and why.
Em hesitated. That meant 2 to 3 more days in the castle. 2 to 3 more days with Kaz. What if she used those days to warn him? She couldn't just let him die when Olso attacked. Was it foolish to think she could attempt to make him understand? Fine, she said quietly.
Good,
Iria said.
I'll send word for some warriors to head down to the Valos Mountains to help you.
That's another thing, Em said, rubbing her finger across her necklace. I'd like you to spare Kaz in the attack. Silence met her words, the only sound the clock ticking from the other side of the room. Aaron's brow was so furrowed she thought it must have hurt to keep it that way.
I'm sorry, Iria finally said.
Em. Aaron's voice trailed off, and he shook his head, as if trying to find the words.
Why?
Kaz is not the same as his father. He shouldn't—
You have got to be joking, Aaron said. Em, please tell me you haven't fallen in love with him.
Iria snorted.
You're the only one who hadn't noticed, Aaron.
I'm not in love with him. Of course you're not, Iria said. I know him, Em said. He disagrees with all of his father's policies, and he'll change things. If you give him a—
I can't.
Aaron laughed in a way that almost sounded deranged.
I don't—
He shook his hands in exasperation.
I don't even have any words.
Em pressed her lips together, fighting back the sudden urge to cry. Aaron was staring at her as if she'd just disappointed him for the first time.
Our orders are to kill the entire royal family, Iria said.
Not Kaz, Em said quietly. Aaron sank deeper into his chair, moaning as he put his hands over his face.
Yes, Kaz, Iria said. And the king, the queen, and Jovita. The entire royal line needs to be eliminated, which, I would like to remind you, was the plan all along.
I know it was. But if you allow Kaz to talk to your king—
I assure you that King Lucio has no interest in talking to Kaz.
At least give him the option of surrendering his kingdom willingly.
Do you really think he'd take that option?
Em pressed a hand to her forehead. No. She couldn't see Kaz bowing down to the Ulso king and willingly surrendering the kingdom he loved. Even to save his life.
Listen,
Iria said, her tone softer.
I won't do it myself. If it were up to me, I wouldn't kill him. But it's not up to me. There will be a lot of warriors here, at your request, I might add. And they have orders.
Fine.
Fine? What does fine mean?
She stood and walked to the door. It means fine. She pulled the door open. She absolutely had to warn Kaz. Kaz rounded the corner, smiling at a staff member scurrying past. He'd felt light all day since waking with Mary by his side. He'd been thinking of nothing else but the expression on her face when she agreed to come back to his room tonight. And hopefully all the nights after that. He turned into the open door of his mother's study to find both his parents waiting. His mother stood by her desk, tapping her fingers against it with such vigor she was in danger of denting it. His father was pacing the room. A large portrait sat in the corner. It was of a man, woman, and young lady. Kaz didn't recognize any of them.
Shut the door, his mother said.
He pushed it shut, the sound echoing through the room. Is everything all right?
The painting arrived.
His mother's mouth was set in a hard line, and she had an expression on her face that he'd never seen before. If she'd had a sword, he might have taken a step back. The one of Mary and her parents? He squinted at the painting. He'd never met the king and queen of Valos, but he didn't think the dark-haired girl was Mary.